Yabba dabba doo. It's Adam. Fuck, I don't know. Well, guys, welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. I'm your host, Adam Ray. Thanks for coming back. Subscribe right here. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. But the YouTube page is where it's at because you get to watch the fun and catch up on all the clips and past episodes. Today's episode is a banger. We got co-creator of The Chappelle Show. His third special is out. Of course, he came at us with Women and Black Dudes, Three Mics, and now Blocks on Netflix. And it is fantastic. It's wonderful. It's poignant. It's heartfelt. It's hilarious. It's raw. And it's thought-provoking. You know? The stage should be used for whatever you deem, you know, worthy of entertainment, which is what it is, right? At the end of the day. And Neil covers every base and stacks every block. Blocks, the name of the special on Netflix. Go check it out. Neil is a great guy and hilarious and, you know, a great conversation. So was pumped. He was wanting to sit down to chat. Follow him on Instagram, at Neil Brennan, on Twitter as well. Of course, me at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. AdamRayComedy.com for all the tour dates. Young Rock, Fridays on NBC. Welcome to Chippendales on Hulu. Got some other surprises coming up to announce, and a lot of great episodes coming at you down the line. We got Big J. Okerson. We got Wayne Brady. We got Adam Devine. We got Rick Glassman coming back. We've got Ali Makovsky. We've got, holy shit, Mike Young. Steve Rabel, the Seahawks broadcaster. I'm pumped for that one. KJ Wright, Seahawks legend. I just start crying. So get all that fun here at the About Last Night podcast. Click subscribe and enjoy it. I think that's it. You guys know what to do. Enjoy the episode. Yeah. I saw where you are. I don't know if it's where every episode is of Blocks.
It's Alex Media who does.
Yeah, I've been to that studio. It's nice.
Yeah. It's the, you know.
Why not do it from your house?
Because I edited Blocks at my house and I was like, I don't like it for the person who's working on it.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm like drinking coffee, like, what do you, it just feels like a fucking abuse of power.
Right. But have you shot stuff at your house ever? Has your house been like?
Not really.
Could you
I moved.
Ooh. But you could Google Earth Neil Brennan's house.
I don't know.
My wife just Google Earth MGK's house because she said Logan Paul bought it.
Who's
there's
MGK?
A lot. Who's MGK?
Machine Gun Kelly.
There it is. Yeah.
Great.
And she pulled up like an overhead shot of the house, and I was like, I forgot that that was a possibility for people just to double click, and there you are.
I don't think it would be hard to find my house. You know, I always think like, am I gonna like?
Am I gonna die?
If I hear a noise, I'm like, who
oh wow.
Who would want to, like, what's your premise?
Right.
It would have to be super, super random.
Do people just come knocking on Neil's door?
No. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, no. Never happened.
Doors?
I had a neighbor leave a script. People want help, Adam. People want Showbiz help. They don't hurt me. They want to waste my time, but they don't want to hurt me.
I remember I want to say I feel like I had decent rapport with you when I threw a Hail Mary and sent you an email and said, would you look at an SNL reel? And you go, this is funny. I don't think you're right for the show. And I appreciated that. But I felt like I had enough conversation. And then I remember
Wasn't that long ago.
Oh, that was like 5 or 6
season.
Years ago.
It was this season. Okay.
It was an hour ago.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they'll pick up on
anything can happen.
You did say something really funny and poignant, and I want to ask you after I tell you the advice you gave me.
Great. I hear stories about myself. I'm like, this fucking guy is a...
Yeah, you're at that point now where you've probably said enough stuff that you don't remember to people you don't remember meeting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like you're fine. I feel like if you were going to be canceled, you would have been canceled.
Yeah, I mean,
you also don't strike me as someone that's going for that type of...
Look, I'll whip it out.
No, I'm kidding.
You
know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I
the queen dies.
I'm not
looking at
you
Neil
would
Brennan.
Think, yeah, you would think that I'm by now. Maybe if I get cast in a series. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you never know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's
what's great about this business.
That's what's great about this business combined with Me Too is Me Too is almost entire. Well, it's sometimes in the eye of the beholder. So they anyone can,
literally, and that's how you get Me Too'd.
Yes, and you just go, okay, I can't. You can't really argue against it.
Right.
It just is a bad look if you get accused.
So you told me, Accused, great new show on Fox starring Whitney Cummings.
Literally?
Yeah. It's her, Michael Chiklis, Rachel Bilson, Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Oh, it looked like Whitney. Is it Whitney?
Yeah.
Because I saw a picture. I was like, that looks like Whitney. But
you don't pay attention to like billboards and media, do you? TV. What are you watching TV-wise right now?
Oh. I just watched season one of White Lotus. So I'm really up to date.
Bro, I still haven't seen Game of Thrones.
I'm never going to see it. Never going to see it. I mean, I don't watch most stuff. I'm trying to get out a show. I mean, I'm like easing my way out. I'm like saying goodbye. It's a party, and I'm like going like, I put my glass in the sink.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, hey.
You've been in the foyer for 40
I'm
gonna minutes.
I'm going to hit it. Yeah. I'm going to hit it. And
now, do you like the half?
I like doing stand-up.
If you're yeah, that'll never stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny to me, too. You just talked about this, I think, on your podcast, Blocks, which we'll talk about, which I fucking love, and told you that in great detail at the store the other night. We'll never have a shortage of... I just lost my train of thought.
T-shirts? Hats?
Merch. That's what it... No. Merch. No, what were we just talking about?
TV?
Yeah. Right after that. Accused.
Oh, doing a TV show? Yeah. I don't know.
Malcolm Jamal Warner... Fuck. Let's play it back. No, we don't have that. We'll never have a shortage, I think, of people, first of all, that want to try to get out of the business, like you say, but then have things that
I think
they
there's
just,
a shortage of people who want to get out of the business. You think? I think everybody wants... People are totally relying on it for their self-esteem.
But what if I'm like LeBron James? I'm like, dude, direct my next 40 Nike commercials.
I don't consider that show business.
Really?
I don't. Yeah, doing commercials, I'm like, I'll do that. Like, that's not show biz.
Right.
That's like something else. It's like a third.
Almost like a hobby?
It's a third category. I don't even consider it. I had commercials on the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Is that whatever to you? Or is it like, do you watch
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Sure feels like it, doesn't it?
It did. Yeah, you didn't see
I just
pumped.
Don't. When people are like, I was like, I do. I have a Netflix special. I don't like. I'll
watch that. Don't
yeah,
tell
like,
me that
I
you
write
saw
the
that.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't write it. I just, it doesn't, it's not in my, I like will execute it and punch it up and do, but it's not burning a hole in my pocket.
Right. The advice you gave me, I remembered, was, I think I said in jest after I emailed you, and I was basically just saying, hey, thanks for like responding and not making me feel like an idiot, which is fine if that happens as a young comic, right? But again, I think it was maybe 8 years in, and we'd had enough rapport that I felt comfy.
Yeah.
Getting to a place to where I feel like you...
You felt comfy saying comfy. Go ahead.
What's your word of choice if you're trying
comfortable.
To...
Comfortable. Be a man.
We'll be right back.
Comfy. Jesus Christ. I drive all the way over here for comfy? This guy hits me with a comfy?
Very Go funny, ahead. Neil. Very funny.
Thanks. Thank
I
you
love that you're always in the bit
tonight,
boat.
Tonight at the Comedy Store.
Great, yeah.
Thanks so much.
Have you always been in the bit boat? Do you consider yourself someone that's always been like down to just do bits?
If I'm doing a podcast. If I'm doing...
That's not true. I've had hallway bits with you. I've had post-Chappelle Radio City party bits with you.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, yeah, that's the point.
Oh, but the whole time. Like prior, like do you think that contributed...
Am I annoying to be to drive somewhere with? Probably no. If it feels like it's in the flow, I'll do it, but I'm not like I'm not clucking my wings.
Sure.
Trying to get in.
Well, nobody said you did characters, but yeah.
Well, you'd be surprised, but go ahead.
But I'm saying, like, on the Chappelle Show set, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm assuming there was a light vibe when you guys weren't, you know, exhausted, because I know the hours were crazy and you guys were just working all the time.
Bits?
As you're trying to even, like, I don't know, in between shots, like, you're goofing around, like, things that maybe would make it to the show, or you and Dave after hanging, or you and anyone on the show just... Or are you so locked into go mode that...
I don't know. I mean, we're funny, so it's like, you just are funny.
You can hear a joke in your head at a party and go, I can say that or not say that? Or do you have something in you that's like, I see the opportunity?
Oh, it comes on the teleprompter and I decide.
That'd be great.
I decide whether I do it or not. What do you have?
I feel like I have a pretty good relationship now with reading the room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I definitely am always usually going for it, even if it's uncomfortable, because there's something inside me that's not wanting to see the uncomfortable moment, but to see the person's, like with my mom, like there's certain jokes that I'll make and she just, now I think we'll laugh them off more often than not, but I know sometimes she's not going to like them. But I want to see her go like, I can't believe you, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I want to either be funny or quiet.
Great. Thanks for coming by. That's Neil Brennan
or
on Twitter.
No,
we're done. That's
like
Neil Brennan
additive.
On Twitter. Yeah.
I don't want to get my mom to disapprove of me. I don't know. It's never been my kink, Adam. But that's your kink, so.
We'll edit this out.
You know what I mean?
We'll keep it in.
Double it up. Split screen.
You told me, I said, hey, I'm glad I felt comfortable to shoot my shot. I go, you got to shoot your shot, right? And you go, or I said, you don't ask, you don't get. And you go, sometimes you shouldn't ask. Do you remember saying that? It's a very Neil Brennan.
I mean, not exactly, but like, yeah. I've said it, I stand by it.
Yes, yeah. You go, sometimes you shouldn't ask.
Yeah, like, did my neighbor who moved in to a place I lived in Venice, he left me a script and with the note, like, I think you'll get a kick out of this. You do. You think I'll get a kick out of a script that you wrote? Based on what?
By the way, no one makes a $1 billion from getting a kick out of reading something.
Wait, based on what?
Does he know your sensibilities?
Exactly my point. What's my favorite script I've ever read, sir? Based on what you know. so that he shouldn't have asked.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, I could think of more examples of people that shouldn't ask. Like, you don't, because it's just, now, having said that, I did have a policy. If you asked if you could be on Chappelle's show or work on Chappelle's show, I said yes, because I thought it was so inappropriate. So there was a bouncer named Disco who, making the band sketch where Dave plays Puffy.
Yeah.
Where he keeps passing out, and the guy, that's a bouncer named Disco who just at a club one night was like, hey, can I be on Chappelle's show? And I was like, yep.
Yes,
you can.
Awesome.
And there was another guy who, there's a guy now who works for Will Smith who asked me if he could be an intern. And I was like,
wow.
Three people asked, and I just thought it was stupid. It was like in the service of the show.
Good for you.
It was in the spirit of the show. It was not appropriate. You know how you are with your mother. Come on, let's go.
I can see Neil in about 20 to 30 years being a real, you're going to have some Fraser Smith in you.
Who do you think told him to do that? If you ask him. Ask him who told Fraser.
Oh, buddy, Neil Brennan, buddy. Oh, right there.
I told him. I was like, Frazier, you got to
I can't
hook
tell
this.
If you're joking or not.
I'm dead serious. I was like, you got to hook this.
Because I've seen you act, and that was very convincing. So I'm still
No, I'm to ask him. Anytime. I told I mean, again, it's not like
I don't think I've ever called Frazier on the phone, but
I've worked with more
right
prominent
now
comedians, but I'm saying I did tell Frazier to snap after his one-liner.
Sure. Wouldn't it be great if you were the guy that was like, I told Chris Rock to pace.
Eddie Murphy told Chris
I
Rock
told
to pace.
Dave to smoke. For real?
Yeah. He told, since you brought it up.
Question four
the,
on this.
Eddie told Chris that if you don't move on stage, people can just stop looking at you and know where you're going to be. So it's like, I think it's just some like animal shit. Like if I know you're not moving, why bother? It's then I'll just make it radio. And just like, and this is before phones. So,
wow.
So yeah, Eddie Murphy, pretty smart guy.
Very smart. Yeah. Hey, you told me a story once. You went to his house and bowled.
I did.
And that's probably on a list of like the top 90 things you've done, right? But probably
in terms
not
of socially, in terms of places I've gone, probably top 90. Definitely top 90 places I've bowled.
Oh, yeah. When you, when you did your special blocks.
Yes. Now streaming on Netflix.
So, first of all, I love Three Mics right before that, which was also fantastic. Well, I'm starting to really dig specials that aren't, first of all, no handheld mic, no wireless mic. Mm-hmm. Just a little different, I guess. And that in and of itself, I feel like probably even for an audience.
Have you ever performed the live with a wireless without? It's actually way better.
Maybe.
It's just better.
Robin Williams did it.
Yeah, you can move your hands more. I'm used to doing going back to handheld.
You're a pretty handsy guy, too.
Which I didn't realize.
Just ask his high school nurse. Sorry, I don't.
Something about your mom. I don't want to go through all the effort of finishing that joke. So just your mom.
Which, by the way, was a very prominent slam in the early 90s.
Sure.
Your mom.
Yep.
Don't tell me you weren't around for that. Your mom?
Co-created it.
It's the sip after that really does it for
you. So it's fun to perform with a lav.
Was that the first thing that was like when you're creating this next chapter of...
No, because I don't... I'm about to go on the tour now, and I think I'm just going to use handheld, but a lot of places don't have lavs. Right. I don't know. I liked it, though. I liked it.
Was there a shift in you as a person that created, you know, the Three Mics vibe and now into blocks as far as just... I don't want to even call it... It's not performance art because it's very much stand-up. But you know what I'm saying? It's like people that don't...
It was doing an hour and a half for Comedy Central that no one cared about. So I was like, okay. I heard won't happen again. Let me, like, if I'm gonna...
Wow.
I'm not... Why come in 40th place doing one thing when you can come in first in another thing because no one else does it? I mean, now more people do it. If you can create your own thing, you can actually finish first instead of, like, I can think of 10 comics I like more than me.
Who?
I'm not. You think I'm going to?
No.
Ever divulge that?
Being facetious.
On a podcast of all places?
You do characters.
I'd rather, it was just like, all right, well, it was, a lot of it was just, survival, so to speak.
You strike me as someone too that's always tried to challenge themselves creatively. Like, you, I don't think you've ever been a settler or like someone that's gotten. You're always writing, but you're always doing a variety of things, which I feel like, yeah, comes from opportunity, right? From everything you've done, but also, I mean, maybe a little bit of boredom. But you also seem to me as someone that's like seeking out, like, yeah, I'm gonna do that commercial because that's. Work, whatever, but also like something that's.
I went to film school, so like,
right.
I went to NYU before I started working in comedy. So I went for a year, but and started working the door in my first year of college, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm a snob, so I want to make good shit that other snobs like. Kind of. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's like I'm a snob in that like I want to be like artistically cool and I want to kill. So that's trying to satisfy both.
Most people want that, right?
I think most people don't care about snobbery. I think most people are like, "Eh." I don't think taste is like people's number one priority.
Right.
I don't think people even think about it.
Yeah.
I think they just go like, I don't know, that's what I say. I like that guy. I want to be like, people don't think about like, I don't think, looking at most comics, like I don't think most people care about structure or point of view or originality or I think they just want to kill.
Yeah.
So I want to kill. And the other thing is like, there are people that can kill harder than me. So I'm like, well, let me add another thing to it. So it can be like a richer meal.
Right.
You know?
Well, you definitely achieved that with blocks. I told you this too, that's now segued into the podcast. I
The podcast, I have a podcast called Blocks.
Yes. A spinoff, if you will, from the special. Yes. You've done so many pods over the years, late night appearances. It was a natural fit at some point. But I told you this at the store. It's, I feel like, very rare in this business, especially in stand-up, to have conversations with numerous people that really, like, get past the surface, right? Even in the parking lots at comedy clubs, I feel like if I've been a part of or heard, you know, things get to a certain level, but there's just too much going on.
Yeah.
Any good conversation that's going to be, I don't know, of value and substance where you get to really know someone, I feel like, has to be away from the chaos of, I don't know, this city or business, like on the road, wherever. But man.
Although it is funny having like a really meaningful conversation in the middle of chaos.
Right. And then you hear Don Bears like asking a woman to who knows what.
Yeah. No, like, yeah.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
It's there's a fight. There's a scene in that movie. What's the cops? The movie where Will Ferrell and Wahlberg,
the other guys,
where there's an argument at a funeral, and they're like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah,
it's just a
really funny. The
goddamn
contrast,
funny idea.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that the type? Real quick, is that the type of shit that makes you really laugh? Is there something? Do you?
Well, yeah, that's a guy. My point is like McKay and Ferrell wrote it, and it's like you can, I can almost feel McKay or Will thinking of it.
Yeah,
and then going like, oh, and then coming into the work and being like. I thought of something last night. It's like an argument out of, and it's like, yep, there you go. As like I did a sketch show, I'm like, yep, there's a sketch.
You're tracing the whole lineage of the joke like that. When you watch stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a cool way to watch stuff.
I don't.
Hell yeah, that's like a curtain.
But
pullback.
Don't most people watch a little bit? Don't
no
you
way.
Watch it like that?
I mean, yes and no, but not as much. I mean, I haven't been behind the camera like you have, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So you're really thinking and just on. As much of the collaborative fullness to know that they were doing that and it got, you know.
Most like, yeah, like thinking of it and then, yeah, like that's what I, yeah.
You talk about in your special Blocks and then now the podcast, which again is what I'm building towards in this compliments slash just, you know, rarity of really wanting to get people to open up the way that, fuck, man. I feel like I'm trying to think, and I want to tell you this at the store the other night, but like maybe Oprah or Stern back in the. I'm trying to think of a show where they really got people of note.
What's great
to get
so
people to,
far yeah. is it. It's not hard for me, meaning I have to book people with nightmares, you
right.
know. But
I know you've been reaching out to me, and I was like, dude, do mine first.
Well, yeah. The
All right. I'll book a
Jesus
series this year.
Christ. You just fucking wish COVID on me.
It's really easy for you to be.
But I know Letterman being the first guest is very helpful. Bert, people want to tell you that. People like it. People get something out of it.
Well, I think it's half that, but half you do have a.
And I've done it. Like, I already went in the specials. I already said, like, what my problems were. I already said I'm a star fucker. I already said like, all the slams. I already, like, fucking Eminem'd myself. So, what are your problems? And I think people are, they're, like, game for it. Like, Bobby Lee is a good example, where people are like, I've never heard Bobby talk like that. I was like, oh, I only know that.
Yeah, me too.
I only know Santino that way. Yeah. I only know people... in a way that's like overly emo because I don't drink or anything. So we have to have, I need to pry.
Yeah. What? I guess
or Letterman shit. Like Letterman had the thing where Letterman said he used to stay in the office until the sun went down.
Yeah.
He had said that to me like a year ago. And I was like, what? He just said it on a phone call or something. Like we were and it's like fascinating. And then Tom Dreesen, who's been friends with Letterman for 45 years, is like, it's the only good interview he's ever done.
Wow.
Yeah, which is great.
Wow. That's high praise.
Yeah.
You can believe that, too.
Yeah.
Are you just genuinely curious about people or in discovering your own, you know, being open with your own?
I am genuinely curious about people. I've had people get mad at me for being, like, prying. But I also have a reputation. Like, not even, I just can't, I just want to know. Like, I want to, Remember that guy Jim McGreevy, who was the senator?
Yes.
Or he was the senator. He was the governor of New Jersey and was outed, right? 6 months later, I'm on a plane. He's like ousted. He was gay and he had to step down. He said, I'm a gay American, which is like, I don't know, something about that's a funny phrase. Sitting, I'm on a plane, I'm reading, and he's like, and basically it's Jim McGreevy. I'm flying to Vancouver or something. He's like, what are you reading? He strikes a conversation. And I go, what have you been up to? And he's like, what do you mean? I go, you know what I mean. Like, this is 18 years ago. Like, I just want to know what the, my brother Tommy's kind of the same way. Like, I just, he's pushy. But now,
pushy, okay. But also,
but I'm not. I don't think I'm pushy. It's like I, you know, what I want to talk about.
You're direct.
And I don't want to be. Yeah, I'm direct,
and not trepidatious. To do you have any sort of like when you're about to ask somebody a big question that you're like, this might make them uncomfortable, or are you so confident that you're like, all right, if they don't like it, I'll segue.
No,
out of it.
Like I just know the parameters of what people are willing to talk. It's got to be something around the stuff I've talked about. That's, I think that's my rule, having never thought about it. Like, I didn't ask Letterman about the work sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Like, I just, because it just.
Well, you're not
like,
that show.
Yeah, I'm not trying to, like, I don't know. I wanted to, I'm curious what it's like to be other people, genuinely.
Wow,
like,
what
I'm
a great
genuinely
way to put
curious,
it.
What is it like to be you? Like, when you wake up, what do you think? What's it like?
Wow.
What is it like? Like, genuinely, are you tired? I've never gotten a good night's sleep in my fucking life. Like, when people go, good morning, all that. And like,
I start the day popping up, just like being pumped for the day. Even today, I had to get up early to shoot, and I was so pumped for the shoot, but so angry when I got up.
Why were you angry?
Because I stayed up too late.
Oh, got it.
And
you pumped normally?
Oh, yeah. I've never been
pumped ever. I mean, not in first thing in the morning, like,
not first thing in the morning.
Right now,
pumped to come over for this. Brian Simpson told me at the store once, great comedian. He was like, I came in, and we both put it near the store at the same time, and gave him a big hug. And he was like, man, you're just always in such a good mood. He's like, are you ever depressed or bummed? I was like, yeah.
Yeah, but you're in a, you have a good disposition.
But I also, thank you, I also genuinely do love being, and I'm so very much cognizant of like when I was at the store and not come. Uh-huh. And oh man,
oh, that was close. God.
I could see you halfway out of the chair.
I just put my brass knuckles on.
I remember vividly scraping for spots and just not being comfortable in my own skin to even see you at the store and be like, "What up, Neil?" And either stop in a chat or you walk by and go, and to not go, "Oh fuck," you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that takes a beat, and so I love that I'm in a place.
Meanwhile,
where
it's the store, so I wasn't comfortable either, just so you
right,
know.
Right.
It's like I wasn't allowed to park in the lot for years.
Why? Your car was too nice?
No, it was, I wasn't passed. When I wasn't passed. I went there in like 08. Wow. I didn't get passed till 2012 probably.
Wow.
11, 12, yeah.
Did it mean something?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would get like some spots, but yeah, it was.
I don't know if those types of accolades or.
No, yeah, I mean, it's a good place to. It's a good. It's a membership at a club. It's like they open. There's a gym near your house. It's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, it meant something.
well, the yeah, I don't know how if that. First of all, in your special blocks, how, because I'm constantly trying to, you know, I guess dig deeper on certain things, get more open with things that have, you know, been like you even asking how do I feel when I start the day, I just saw like 19 different answers and it's like, wow, that is such a funny thing that you can ask such a basic question and I got excited to actually tell you about because it was also going to allow me to figure it out and say it out loud, which I don't think we do, right? Which is probably why these guests.
No, when that's the good thing I like about the thing I like about books is it books are the only mechanism for being in somebody else's consciousness.
Right.
It's the only one. You can, if there's voiceover in a movie, it's usually like, I knew I had to get to the across town. It's just action-y. But like, what is it like to feel or like upset? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you don't go, it doesn't, you can't, they won't tell you why or how or like what it feels like or the associations or whatever. So right. like, that's the good thing about books. I mean, thankfully no one reads. But, but we have podcasts for that.
Yeah. Do you do audiobooks?
I do audio and the paper.
I was just because you were looking for the word to describe books,
audio
and non-audio,
paper, audio analog.
Yeah,
I do the eyeball one. That's reading.
Yeah,
I do. I do audio. I do Kindle. I do all three different. Yeah,
the trifecta.
Pretty amazing what I'm doing over here. Pretty incredible.
You've had amazing guests on Sebastian Maniscalco, Bert Kreischer, Nikki Glaser, like you said, Dave Letterman, Ronnie Chang just dropped, Bobby Lee, Santino, Taylor Tomlinson episode was really special. Is there somebody that now that you're getting into it and having to, you know, put on your booker's hat that you're like, and not somebody that you maybe know, somebody that you have in your circle that you have a connection enough that you're like, you know, because that's also what's great about podcasting is that, like, you can walk away from this and go, oh, man, I feel more connected.
Yeah. Well, it's a great way to talk. It's a conversation that you won't have otherwise.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I mean,
that you would reach out, like, if you would cold call someone that you're like, I'm a fan of, you know, Peter Sarsgaard or fucking, you know, Shia LaBeouf. Or-
Sarsgaard. No. I mean, look, no, what?
You know,
I need downloads.
I got you.
Oh. Skarsgård.
Skarsgård.
Not even on the poster.
Yeah.
Who would I want? Who do I? I can't think. So,
that's fine.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's also more about the people. I just want people to be like people that aren't normally revealing.
Gotcha.
I like them to be revealing.
Gotcha. Have you always been this? I haven't even heard a comedian really. I guess maybe, you know, it's almost like with SNL, you're a fan of the, you know, the class of people that you were in high school when mm-hmm. you watched. I feel like with stand up, you know, I feel more just aware because I'm in the thick of it. But in watching blocks, I'm like, I don't feel like I've seen anybody for this long get this open, right? And still be very joke conscious. Like you have such great one-liners, and you even texted me a few tags the other night, but even your shit with the bidet about your buddy wanting to do it because he says it's some gay shit or whatever, and then you're like, if a bidet is the last thing keeping you, or the only thing keeping you from being gay, you're gay.
Yeah.
So funny. And then, but it was like in the, in a chunk of which a lot of the special is, like, stuff that's just really raw and more honest than I feel like I've seen anyone really allow themselves to go to, because they're just very much like, my special is gonna be just giggles the whole way.
Like I said, it's more about a second thing. It's like it's like funny and I don't know, it's a lot of noises. Do you have a, you can remove all this?
I think so.
There's a button, I hope.
This is just the run through. We'll do this again next week.
Do you have a man in 40s button? So I don't mind. There's guys that kill harder. So it's like, if I can kill pretty hard and add a level of like theatricality or like emotion or insight or, you know, it's, I have the ability. So it would be a waste. I'd be using like less of my talent or less of my brain on stage.
Let me ask you this. I know you did a run of shows in New York and then obviously probably ran a bunch of it at clubs unbeknownst to the
I had
audience.
Written it all as bits. I mean, they were all just bits.
And so how'd you elaborate on?
Because I had them all as, I had like the bits and I looked at it all and I was like, what am I getting? What am I saying? Like, what am I trying to communicate? And I was trying to communicate, like, I just feel defensive about my lifestyle. That's what all of the things had in common. Was right. Just like, hey, yeah, get out of here. Yeah. So I don't like dogs. So what? You know, or like, so I'm single and not, man, I'm in my 40s. So what's so bad about that?
You felt like you
yeah,
always
I got
had
a bidet.
Yeah.
What's it to you?
How many? I would love to be a fly on the wall for whoever was coming at you for that accusation.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, a lot of them, some of them are like not real problems, like having a bidet or not being a bad liberal or whatever. It's like those aren't like existential. But
you reached a point where you felt like you were being defensive a lot, and it was bugging you, or what? You just
no, it wasn't bugging me. It was just like that's what you can. It's like someone said your life doesn't make sense in as it's happening, but it makes sense when you see it. Like in retrospect, you can see the sort of narrative flow. So,
wow.
Looking at my act, I'm like, what am I saying? I'm about to do it again because I have an hour, and I'm like,
already?
Yeah, but don't feel bad because I had written all those jokes before COVID, so it was like I was ready to go before COVID. So then I started like I basically had a year down.
I did like that you said about COVID, which again, I just feel like I haven't heard somebody just say it in a way that it stuck with me, right? Where you said, you know, if you were proactive and you won COVID, whatever, you were successful during it, and you said Bo Burnham and somebody else.
Amazon.
Yeah. And then you said, but you just said it was very honest. And I remember you telling me at one point, too, that you needed to like, you were like watching a special that you were editing. I think it was your Comedy Central one. And you were like, I realize how much I don't smile on stage,
mm-hmm.
which is so funny because I felt like I'd seen you smile quite a bit around just hanging at the clubs. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, weird that I didn't really ever pick up on that. And then you
the
were like,
audience did. Keep going.
But you said you had to be like conscious about it for.
I had to shock my fucking wrist.
No way.
That's in the special. I talk about shock. It's in blocks. I talk about.
Well,
wearing
yeah.
a bracelet to shock myself to smile more.
That fucking crazy. Has that translated to now? Like, do you feel like you
wearing
have...
it as we speak?
Wow,
it's to shit on you and your mom. It's a thing I have to because I grew up like thinking Letterman and that you could be like Letterman, you could be like Charles Grodin, you could be like. Visibly irritated as a comedy MO. It's like how I would get laughs. Like, you know what I mean? Like
right.
when you're a kid and you get laughs, whatever. I would get like being like aggrieved, right? Agitated. But you have to be a cartoon version of it.
Right.
To get laughs on stage with
right.
it. So I just seem irritated on stage. So I never figured out a way to be like, I mean, Ronnie going like, hey, like, Rodney's a cartoon.
Right.
I've never become a cartoon. So
yeah.
I have to just go the other way and like smile more.
You said people in COVID, if you did stuff, cool. And then you go, if you didn't do anything, also cool. And that really stuck to me. And I was like, because I know a lot of people, myself included, that tried to really at a certain point go, all right, I need to, you know, make use of this and not just take a step back. But there was a little push and pull because I was like, I feel like I really need that, the step back. And I still feel like I constantly struggle
to
with that.
To work harder or work less hard?
Work less harder. My mom always, like, you know, if I'll have, you know, shoot a whole day and then have shooting the next day early, still go do my spots. Because as I tell her, I didn't work this hard to not do those, even though I would hope that the club would understand if given enough notice, but I go, Mom, it's also my reward. I want to do it, and it carries me over into the next day. I ride that high. You know what I'm saying? Even
yeah.
if I do, it just, I just ride that high from the night before and it into the day, and it just, it makes me feel like I'm full on all
well,
fronts.
Well, yeah, if you, but
also, I don't want to die at 45.
Right, that's what it's a thing so. I said on 7 Interview where I was like, I want to land somewhere between, like, purpose and a heart attack. I want enough purpose that I have purpose, but I don't want to have a fucking heart attack.
No, man.
Like, there's no point. I can't remember. If I do too much in a day, I can't really remember it. Like, I'll go, oh, yeah, was that today? And I don't enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, that's not good. That's not really the way I like. Not like memory is the only barometer for whether you're doing your life right, but I don't like doing too much shit.
Yeah.
But to your point, like, I understand what you're talking about. I always wanted to do a bit about how you should be, like, you know, when you work, you shoot 12 hours. It was during when I've done TV shows where it's like, you shoot 12 hours and it ends up being 14 with driving and all that shit.
Yeah.
And then you get home and you want to fuck around. And you should be able to, but you got to go to sleep because you got to get up at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, I want to fucking watch TV. But what do you mean I have to go to sleep? Like, I there's still only 24 hours a day and you got to, like, so I'm with you in terms of how much work do I want to do? And also, what does it mean?
Do you feel like you've gotten better at just in life? Because I think it was with Bobby, you guys were both kind of being in a place and commenting on how maybe it's age, experience, being seasoned, but you're able to, like, celebrate the wins more, which I feel like everyone to a certain degree struggles with. Bobby, I've known for a long time, and I feel like definitely has, it's the first time I've ever seen him, like, take a compliment in a, you know, more in so many words. Does that take work, or is it just like you just get tired of being so hard on yourself?
We just, if it's all just like go, it's useless. It's like, for what? Mm-hmm. I can work, I could book myself, but after a certain point, you know, I got to think that sex workers only have a couple a day. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you're just for what? I don't question whether, like, I'm talented. Very, you know what I mean? Like, I do a little sometimes and get insecure and all that stuff. But I don't think booking myself on meaningless shit is just not worthwhile.
Do you think there's things about being a human, like just being insecure? Do you think that's something that never goes away? Do you think Obama?
Do you see the Letterman interview?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem like his hold didn't seem. He doesn't seem resolved.
So crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, but refreshing.
Yeah. It's like, it doesn't. No, I don't think anybody. I don't think I'm gonna die. I did it. That's just the preset. Mm. It's like the factory setting is to be, but you can. I think you can adjust it a little bit.
How much of all these at the end of Blocks, no spoiler here, but you talk very candidly about the things you've done to try to really help you with your depression and anxiety. And you're another person that I feel like I've spoken about that stuff not as openly as you have and heard pieces, but not again. Maybe just had a connection to the person that was talking about it. So when you were talking about it in Blocks and in Three Mics, it just resonated with me more than it has, I think, in a long time with anyone that I've seen talk about it. And so when you talk about getting these certain methods to try to help and talk about how some of it hurts you, and then about how if you're going to, you know, wish for a magic bullet, you're going to get hit.
Yeah.
I guess just speak
you're
to
get shot. It's a better metaphor.
Yeah,
I think searching for a magic bullet, you're gonna get shot. You're not gonna get hit. Jesus Christ!
It does suck when people try to comp. Like I almost want to stop myself from even trying to quote the bit.
Write down the bit you want me to do, and I'll do it. Okay.
Somebody
don't
literally
get your garbage all over my beautiful
canvas.
Don't get your grubby paws. Yeah.
I was a kid with a sponge walking
leave it in the
Da Vinci's room.
Room.
Somebody literally came up to me at a show once, hammered, and goes, dude, that Jew stuff was so funny because all my friends are Jews. I maybe did one joke about being Jewish. Anyway.
It was 20 minutes, but whatever. It was still one joke.
It felt like one.
Yeah.
It's a long story. But you know, with the DMT, the shock stuff, where do you have to get to, I guess, for that to feel like maybe the only option, or did you just get to a place too where you're like, I really want to help myself, and so I'm going to go to China?
I would go to therapy. I always felt like this is in my body. I can talk about this endlessly. It's in me. It's fucking in me. So and then I had a therapist one time, and I wrote it into a draft of the show and cut it, where a therapist was like, you know, maybe if you just got married and had kids, you'd be, and I was just like, ugh. Like, it was just like,
that was
what?
His suggestion.
It was a woman, and I was like, is that? And she was like, she actually apologized, like, oh, look, I'm sorry. Like, I got married late in life, and it worked for me, and it really improved my life. And da, da, da. And I was just like, that doesn't seem medical.
Yeah. Also, I didn't know we were talking about you.
Yeah. It's like, you should maybe get if you got a Ford Bronco, that would help. Like, what are you recommending?
Open a juice bar.
Yeah.
Real.
Like, yeah. So, so I stopped going to her, and then just
what else?
Was looking at more,
yeah,
more like other ways to do it. And it really is. Sometimes it's Reddit. Sometimes it's like, just looking shit up on Google. I mean, it was like somatic therapy and shit that's in your body. And there's a thing called traumatic release where you like fucking, you know, when you worked out and you're kind of shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a way to do it where you, it's called TRE, traumatic release exercises, where you, make it so that it won't stop. It's you do it with your legs. I did that for a while, and then
ever just like cut out carbs? Like, was there something as
never.
Simple as?
I love pizza, and it's hilarious. For my cold dead hands, bitch. The
new T-shirt.
So just trying different shit, and then somebody sent me an article about ayahuasca, and then I did that, and then I. Did that was very helpful, and then that led to DMT, which was horrible but also transformational.
Wow. I don't know if I'd do it based on that recommendation.
I cannot recommend it.
Fuck.
But
oh, you
I
can't recommend
highly
it.
Recommend ayahuasca. DMT, I cannot. I did Bufo 5-MeO-DMT. I cannot recommend it based on my experience. But the outcome after 6 months was fantastic. But
cut. We're going to use that take for the infomercial.
Right. The intervening 6 months that I showed in the special words fucking.
Yes.
Like Stroby and crazy.
Yes.
I barely made it.
Oh, my God.
Barely. I've talked about it on other podcasts. I talked about it on the Honeydew with the. Sickler. I was so disoriented. This is in November of 2021. So disoriented, I thought I was going to have to kill myself. Not from suicide, not like from disorientation. It wasn't like depression. I'm so disoriented, I think I'm going to have to kill myself. But I didn't, because I knew if I did, I'd just be going to more of what I was experiencing. It, dude, I was...
Holy shit.
I was a long way out. So, but I've come back, and I'm better than I've ever been. So, like...
Wow. Yeah, so you wouldn't change a thing. Oh, yeah, okay. I just see.
Yeah.
Adam, were you just not listening? I said I would have killed myself out of necessity.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, Jesus Christ,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, wild. So,
the mind is this is such a just, you know, simpleton thing to say, but like just so mind-boggling. It's what we're capable of conjuring up, good and bad.
It was so far past anything.
No control.
I thought I was in God's imagination.
That's some good weed.
I mean, that's again, there's like the weed jokes and like, yeah, man. I was going to kill him. It's not and I don't say like, this is not funny.
No,
laugh
no,
it up.
No,
I just mean like, it was fucking.
Yeah.
Dude, it was like.
Well, because you're casually talking about something that was horrific, so how do you
But, right.
So
what
that?
I'm saying is, there is the, like, the Alan Watts, like, poster version of, like, wherever you go, there you are, like, whatever, like the stoner version. This was the psychosis version of, or near psychosis. But, better than ever.
It's interesting to me that you don't drink, but then, like, you're willing to, I guess, you know,
because it's
experiment.
Not, it's, to be corny about it, it's medicine. It's not fun.
Right.
It's not, it's like literally going in for surgery. It's like,
gotcha.
It is not fun. It's
gotcha.
Not a party. But.
Have you ever drank or you just don't drink?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But I drank like in high school and a little in college.
Were you an early bloomer as far as that goes? I guess with 10 siblings.
I grew up in the 80s and 90s. So that's what this fucking
that's
what culture. Yeah. Like that's what you did.
With the folks or just like with like kids just got
no, just
access.
Like the kid, like the
a kid knew
cars
a kid.
And the,
yeah.
We'd all meet at the place and drink and.
Cool, yeah. Man.
Oh, it was the coolest. Oh, Adam, I fucking wish you'd been there. I saw Guns N' Roses and Metallica together.
Ooh, Dear Diary.
Yeah. The Monsters of Rock Tour.
I went and saw, I think, Bare Naked Ladies, Michelle Branch, Goo Goo Dolls, John Mayer. It was the Star 98.7, my freshman year.
You're
going
to stay here so I can punch you in the face, right?
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying the episode, and it's cookie time. Attention, all cookie lovers, including me. Love cookies. Cookies are my weakness. I've said it before, and I'm saying it again right now. I know you crave the sweet taste of freshly baked cookies. Just saying that makes me foam at the mouth. Say it again with me. Freshly baked cookies dipped in milk or eaten by themselves. Well, look. My friends at Twin Life Baking Company have you covered in cookies. With cookies, you can cover yourself in cookies. It's your life. Made from the finest ingredients and baked to perfection. They've got flavors like red velvet stuffed Nutella, vanilla cookie monster, rocky road, s'more, strawberry short stack, birthday, funfetti, chocolate bomb, snickerdoodle, pumpkin snickerdoodle, classic chocolate chip, cinnamon toast crunch, cowboy cookie, cookies and cream, lemon delights, and guess what? My very own cookie. That's right. The Adam Ray Pop-Tart. Little bits of brown sugar Pop-Tart on a cinnamon Snicker. It's a chocolate. Just trust me, all right? It's the greatest cookie I've ever had. I get emotional thinking about it. If you're listening to this, you're probably a person with great taste buds and you love great cookies and you want to celebrate two badass moms. So right now, go to twinlifebakingcompany.com and use promo code AboutLastNight to save 20% off your order. That's twinlifebakingcompany.com, promo code AboutLastNight to save 20% off your order. What time is it? Cookie time. Now let's get back to the episode. When's the last concert you've been to? Because you said you're kind of a, you know, you like to keep things chill, but like what'll get you out? Like, hey man, I got courtside seats to the Lakers. Hey man, I've got a box for Paul McCartney. Like, does it have to be that grand? Or can it be, hey, I've got Disney on Ice?
I saw a woman, I mean, again, I'm so fucking, a woman named Mary Lattimore who, she's a harpist. Next question. No, she's a harpist. Okay. You know, I'm on YouTube Music. I listen to YouTube Music.
Yeah.
And, some shit will come in the algorithm. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So, woman comes on named Mary Lattimore. It's like dreamy, weird. I was all into this kind of weird music, but before I got into ayahuasca, it was like predated it.
Yeah.
But now it's like perfect for ayahuasca. But so Mary Lattimore, I was dating a woman and she's like, the woman I was dating is a musician. She's like, oh, my friend Mary's going to come over and play harp for my birthday. And I was like, Mary Lattimore? She was like, yeah, how do you know Mary Lattimore? I'm like, I don't know. But based on the name Mary Lattimore, I assume she died in 1860. So the fact that she's alive and like in her late 30s and lives in LA.
And harping,
for fuck's sake. But she was doing a residency in Silver Lake or something. So I went and I saw Bo Burnham there. So it's cool. Just like, it was, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. And I'm tomorrow night, there's a woman who, again, I sound like a weird, either weird or a douchebag. Take your pick. Take you, depending on your threat level. depending on what you've thought of my other podcast appearances. I saw a video of a woman who plays piano, and it's so fast you can't. It's like hummingbird.
Wow,
you can't.
See your fingers.
Chinese girl. Yeah, she,
let's not bring race
Chinese
into
gal.
It. Yeah,
you know how they are. I'm kidding. And I like whatever rabbit hole, and then she's playing with the LA Philharmonic, like for 4 nights or something.
Fuck out. So you're going.
And I got tickets, and then fucking Dudamel is the conductor, and then he quit. So this is, I'm sure the tickets are double what they were worth. I already paid like $350 for it, one ticket. I was like, should I? I was going to get two, and I was like, it's just for me. Nah, I'm not throwing this away on some girl I barely know.
Yeah, that's a big ticket. Also, Dudamel, when you said that, my brain went to monkeypox. My brain went to, could be.
Holy shit.
Are you all right?
Bare minimum monkeypox.
I hope it's monkeypox.
Fuck.
Dudamel, I thought of Gargamel. Who is that?
Smurfs.
That's at Neil Brennan on Instagram.
Great. That's where we are. That's who you are. That's who I am. I'm going to see Dudamel at the LA Phil with a Chinese broad whose fingers you can't see. You're still stuck on the Smurfs. Adam Ray, ladies and gentlemen. I see why Brad left the podcast.
Oh,
I get it.
You're funny, man.
Thanks, man.
You're funny on and off stage.
Thanks man.
We're going to I mean it. I'm going to close it out with a 10-question questionnaire.
Great.
Inside the actor studio. I'm going to play James Lipton. RIP, you no doubt would have been on the show at some point. So we're going to close this out. Try to get to know Neil Brennan a little bit closer with 10 questions. Here we
Great.
Go. I'm here with Neil Brennan. Neil, what is your favorite word?
Oh, you're literally that?
Brad, come on out.
Brad, come on. Come on. Is he in one of the cupboards? Come on, he's small. Is he in the mini fridge? Come on.
The mini fridge.
Come on. There's only a mini fridge here.
Yeah.
Let the record show. did it work better for the bit? You damn right it did. But my favorite word, I don't know. Now I just want to do other people's answers.
Great.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
Hey, don't do this. Ask me anything but this. I don't want to do this.
Okay, great.
Meaning I don't want to do this because I don't. It's not original.
Okay.
But I
you've never done
me
it?
Other question. But he did it. I'm saying it's not original
not to
for
you.
You. But you're doing somebody else's segment.
To close,
you might as well do
show.
Like a top 10 list.
Oof, that was going to be right after this.
This is where I'm saying be snobby like me.
You're right. It is fun, though. I asked Matthew McConaughey, what's your favorite curse word? And went into a whole spinoff on the best
You're
way
kidding.
To say fuck you.
Matthew McConaughey went on a whole thing? Was it weirdly appealing?
It was charismatically adorable.
Did you have to get into a Mercury? Jesus.
The blowing your nose could be your new take a sip after the punchline. You know what I'm saying?
It takes too long. Should I look? I'm not gonna look. Cut that out, please.
All right.
Ask me something else.
Great.
No. I don't want to. Now I feel like I'm bumming you out.
Not at all.
Okay.
This has been awesome.
Thank you.
We could have edited on the Smurf Slam, and which, by the way, not to be confused with SummerSlam, which is coming up. Have you ever been to one of those wrestling events?
I've never heard of wrestling.
Great. How about this?
Have I been to a wrestling event? No, I went to a bodybuilding competition one time. That was...
Oh, my God. Why?
Excellent.
What?
Because I'm walking past the Beacon Theater in New York on Broadway, and it's like the something classic weigh-in, 2:30. I'm like, well, I know what I'm doing. Or the qualifying round. There's a qualifying round in the afternoon.
Stakes.
If you can go... Absolutely one of the greatest events I've ever been to.
So spontaneity resides in Neil Brennan.
It did that day, Adam. It did that day. Adam.
I feel like we found the closing of your
Adam,
special.
I'll tell you what.
It did that day.
Adam,
it
and
did
things
that day.
Were never the same. This is Neil Brennan signing out for About Last Night. Brad, keep the lights on, buddy.
Good night, everybody.
This is The Confused Breakfast,
a movie podcast creating a lot of ruckus around the world.
We talk about classic movies the same way that you and your friends talk about them,
with a little bit of film buff knowledge thrown in because we just can't help ourselves.
If movie quotes are part of your daily vocabulary,
if you like to talk about fun fan theories,
if you've always wanted to punch a movie character in the face,
we're here to podcast for you.
From Back to the Future,
Ghostbusters,
The Shining, and so many more.
Check out The Confused Breakfast wherever you listen to podcasts.